Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 31st, and we are reading from the Big Book, in the Doctor's Opinion, page XXXI, the second paragraph, which starts with, "When I need a mental uplift," and ends with, "To resist the impulse to drink." Today's readers are Alex K., who will read the text for us, Cara L. will read a vision for you, and Eileen M. is our backup. The reference numbers for Tuesday, January 30th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,083, 21083. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern meeting is 21,090, 21090. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Anita L. to please read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Have a great day, everyone, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita. And now we will have Linda B. read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Linda.
Good morning, Susan, and thank you for your service. My name is Linda B. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Linda B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXXI, the second paragraph beginning, "When I need a mental uplift," through to "Resist the impulse to drink." And I will now ask Alex K. to please join us and begin reading and sharing on this paragraph. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. When I need a mental uplift, I often think of another case brought in by a physician prominent in New York. The patient had made his own diagnosis and, deciding his situation was hopeless, had hidden in a deserted barn, determined to die. He was rescued by a searching party and in desperate condition brought to me. Following his physical rehabilitation, he had a talk with me in which he frankly stated he thought the treatment a waste of effort. Unless I could assure him, which no one ever had, that in the future he would have the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. Well, I made my own diagnosis and decided my situation was hopeless. I thought I had to resign myself to the fact that I'd be fat and compulsively eating for the rest of my life. I thought if only I had more willpower, I'd be able to control my eating, but of course, exerting my willpower never worked because I'm powerless over this disease and can't control it no matter how hard I try. And I feel like my higher power sent a rescue party and got me to the program and kept me coming back, despite many relapses, long enough to experience the miracle of freedom from food obsession and compulsion. I'll never be able to rely on my willpower to resist the impulse to compulsively eat, but I can rely on my higher power and this program to change me and change my thinking so that I don't want to compulsively eat. I don't see compulsively eating as an option now. It's not a matter of resisting the impulse. That would be depending on my willpower. But what's happened is that the impulse, that compulsion, that insane urge to eat foods and amounts of foods that make me sick, that are poison to me, that's been removed. I have no desire, no interest in eating my binge foods. I don't want to eat compulsively. I never would have believed that could happen. It's really a miracle and evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. And the assurance, this guy wanted to be assured, but I get the assurance and guarantee that I can recover and my life gets better with the help of my higher power in this program. It works. It really works. My life has been transformed, and I'm beyond grateful. Thank you, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Alex, so much. Okay.
Could you repeat the page, please?
Yes, I will. Give me one moment. If you could just give me 1 second, and I will. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And if you joined us in the middle of Alex's share, we are on page XXXI, which is in the doctor's opinion, second paragraph, halfway down the page, a little bit more, when I need a mental uplift. So we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Please give me your first name, last initial,
Larry,
and where you are calling.
Larry G.
Gentleman.
California.
Tom? Okay, thank you.
Larry G. from California.
Larry G. Oh, sorry, you sounded similar. Larry, I've got you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roz G., Los Angeles.
Hi, Roz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else for the
Janice.
First roundup?
Ronnie.
Janice.
Hey.
I heard Janice.
Ronnie.
Hold on. Janice, hold on. Janice.
Okay. Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Okay. And was there a Janice?
Yes, there was. Janice K.
And what's your last initial? Janice K. Thank you. Can take one more in this first round if somebody else would like to join.
Donna B.
Donna.
Ronnie.
Okay, we'll stop there. I got Ronnie. I got one Ronnie. So we've got Larry G, Roz G, Janice K, Ronnie B, and Donna for the first round. So Larry, would you like to start us off, please? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Susan, for your service. And well seen and well said, Alex. It was really a great way to kick this meeting off. Yeah, when I wanted uplift, I think of my fellow visionaries. I love you. I love this program. It saved my life. And so I look for inspiration through you. I never bought into this this OA definition of sobriety. Restraining from compulsive foods, yes, but also restraining from compulsive food behaviors. There's nothing in the Big Book that says that the alcoholic has to restrain from compulsive drinking, non-alcoholic beverages, and compulsive food behaviors. Now, go to any AA clubhouse, and you will see AAs who are recovered drinking compulsively non-alcoholic beverages and compulsive behaviors in the clubhouse. And you go to a birthday meeting and someone is celebrating 10 years and you're watching them drink mainlining gallons of caffeinated coffee and Diet Pepsi and, those energy drinks. You go up to them and say, you're not sober. You're engaging in compulsive drinking behaviors. Well, you would be escorted out of that AA clubhouse because there's nothing in the Big Book that says that, I am in relapse if I engage in those behaviors or compulsive drinking. And thank God for that. I love the fact that we have black and white abstinence. And the definition to me of abstinence is entire absence from my compulsive, from my alcoholic foods. I went to a workshop one weekend 20 years ago in L.A., In L.A., they just got their shit together. Their inner group really puts on some good workshops. And it was about the ABCs of recovery around food. And the speaker was talking about black and white abstinence. And I love it. I love the fact that I wasn't ready. I hadn't surrendered. And there's a real controversy in my town about abstaining from your compulsive alcoholic foods and about black and white abstinence. And the reason you get arguments from that is because it's so convenient. It's so convenient for me to have my alcoholic foods once a week, right? Containing that around one alcoholic food binge, and if I get back in the program, I'm absent. Well, you know, alcoholics don't drink, you know, they don't drink near beer. They don't have a short can of Coors and consider themselves sober. So I love the fact that we study the big book only and supplement that with a 12x12 because it's black and white. There's no debate. There's no gray areas. And I no longer study other material from other programs because our
holy programs
are all food programs. And I will stop from there, and I turn it back to you, Susan.
Thank you so much. Roz G., would you like to join us, please?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Susan, and then everyone. Thank you, Susan, for your service. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I want to talk about some mental uplifts for me. I was watching, and I may veer off a little bit, but it's going to round out into relevancy to this paragraph. I was watching a movie recently on Netflix about an aircraft that crashed in the Andes Mountains, and people had to, they were there for, I think, 90 days, and they had to survive on cannibalism. But they survived. And at the end of the movie, just about the end, two helicopters swooshed in over the dying people, and I cried. And I'm not much of a crier. And the reason I cried was because it reminded me of God, and that God and Vision for You and the Big Book swooped in, or whatever you want to say it. Just think of a really heavy helicopter sound with the rotating blades and how the wind, how it's just like overpowering, and how this meeting did that for me. You know, I've been in OA since 22 or 3 years, whatever it is. And, I'm grateful for all of it, but I'm telling you, this Vision for You group and the Big Book group really swooshed in and rescued me. And so I have a picture in my bedroom of a helicopter with a person hanging from a very thin rope, just there, with being carried away from an ocean of misery or an ocean of danger and treachery. And the compulsive overeating and my attitude and my character defects were that ocean of treachery for me. Also, there are, some people in this program who have really good sense of humor. And I remember when I was early in Vision for You and learning how to do 10 steps, I didn't even know what it was. I made a call to our historian, and I said, my dad didn't come to my daughter's graduation. And I was so pissed off. And he said, well, your dad has the right to go to the ice capades, and he has the right to do this and this. And I thought about the people ice skating, and I cracked up. I laughed so hard. There's other people who crack jokes. And this totally gives me a mental uplift. I don't have an impulse to go to food for relief today. I get upset at things just like everybody else does, but I'm so grateful for the 10th step and how I can call people and tell them how I feel and turn to God and sometimes get a laugh and some thank you and sometimes cry, but they're both a relief. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you. And next, Janice Kay, and if you can tell us where you're calling from, Janice, thank you.
Hi, this is Janice Kay from Oregon. I think what strikes me is that it all starts at the top of the page with the question, what is the solution? And the answer to that question is two stories. And it just seems to me that this entire paragraph speaks very powerfully to the fact that it is attraction, not promotion, and that our stories carry an immense power of attraction. the promise of the program is happens one day at a time. And the attraction works that way too. I had a new member ask me once, "Can you promise me I'll get over this?" And the answer is classic. I mean, we have an answer provided. Can we guarantee you this recovery? The answer's up to you. And then come the ifs. If you will face the truth about yourself and the illness, I didn't want to do that, not for a long time. If you will keep coming back to meetings to talk and listen to other recovering compulsive eaters, and listen carefully, because I find that my heart listens differently than my head or my ears. If you read our literature and that of Alcoholics Anonymous with an open mind, don't decide in advance that you know the answers. It took me a while to get over that. If you are willing to rely on a power greater for yourself and direction in your life and take the 12 steps to the best of your ability, you can join those who recover. And it is both a process and a place of arrival, a destination. So our stories matter, because our stories tell people where we started, what we did, and where we are now. And I'm so grateful to be a member of this fellowship and listen to your sharing. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. in Oregon. Next, we have Ronnie B. in Missouri. Ronnie, star one to unmute.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri. Thank you for your service, everyone, and everyone that shared. So if this was not a program of attraction, I don't think I would be staying here. And I'm in the program, oh my God, it's 32 years, 33 years, maybe longer, and I have 4 years of back-to-back abstinence. And if this was a program of promotion and anyone was listening to me all of those years, they would say, oh, my God, what is she talking about? You know, she gets 6 months, she gets a year, she goes back out. That is not very attractive to me. So I have to be very careful and to be conscious that, yes, I do have abstinence today, and I do have a sponsor in the steps. I need to get better at the 10 steps. Yes, I definitely do 10 steps, but it could be more. And I know that. So that's the growth. And I have to be careful that if I believe I see ego in other people, that's me. That's my own ego being displayed. Someone else. And that is where I have an opportunity to change. It doesn't mean I will. It just means it's an opportunity to do that. So getting back to the original point, if this was a promotable program, I would not be a good poster child. I don't want to do that. I don't want anyone else to look at me and say, oh, I want what she has on Monday, but on Thursday to say, oh, my God, she's not abstinent any longer. This program must not work. But, of course, the program always works if I do the work. It's not given to me on a silver platter. I don't get to escape the how of the program. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I don't get to escape that. I am fortunate enough to be in a position in my life where it has absolutely and exponentially gotten better. Areas of continued growth would be continuing the steps, deepening my higher power's presence in my life, being grateful each and every day for me, getting on my knees, doing my gratitudes, having respect for other people in the program, being grateful that I have a sponsor that's continuous for 4 years, hasn't let me go through all my clarity. That's time. Okay, that's all I have then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ronnie. And next, I have Donna, and I apologize. I didn't get your last initial or where you were from. So could the one Donna who was next to share please unmute and join us?
Hi, Susan. This is Donna B. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, exercise bulimic, and binge purge bulimic. And my father passed away on December 20th, so it's still quite recent. And I don't know that it's that I'm having trouble getting out of bed in the morning, but I find that I'm sleeping quite late and have been unable to be on this meeting live because I sleep late and then I meditate and pray and the whole thing, the whole meeting has ended by then. But in the last 2 days, a number of people have reached out to me. People that I don't stay in touch with regularly, voices that I hear on the line and voices who were used to hearing me on the line. And they've reached out and they've said, hey, I haven't heard you on the line recently. And it really gave me a sense of community and belonging. I have a very tight-knit group of OA fellows here in Denver, which I'm so grateful for. We've made really an effort to bring back in-person contact and in-person fellowship and meeting for workshops and meeting for tea and planning a convention. But it's also nice to know that these names that just sort of float in the air through my house are also a part of my recovery, a part of my story, a part of my fellowship. So I'd like to say that those people who reached out to me really gave me a mental uplift. And lo and behold, this morning I woke up and had time to pray and meditate and get on the call just as it was beginning. I want to look at this phrase, waste of effort. And I just want to say that there is no person with this disease who is a waste of effort. I don't know how or when the magic happens, but the idea of keep coming back is one that I think is really powerful and worth the effort, and that somehow, eventually, we hear something that has the power to transform our lives. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. in Denver. Okay, so before I take the next lineup of names, a reminder that we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And we are commenting on the paragraph in the doctor's opinion on page XXXI, when I need a mental uplift. Halfway down the page and ends with the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. So if you would like to share this morning, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from.
Sherry.
Loretta H. Hold on 1 second. I heard Loretta H, then I hear a Sherry, but I don't know which Sherry.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. And where are you calling from, Sherry H.M.?
From Washington State.
Okay, great. So I've got Loretta, I've got Sherry. Who else would like to join this round?
Deb F.
Deb F. Deb F. Thank you.
Billy from Ohio.
Someone from Ohio, but I can't hear your name.
Julie B.
Julie B. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anybody else want to join here? All right, so we will have Loretta H, Sherry H.M., Deb F., and Julie B. So, Loretta, would you like to start us off, please? Thank you.
Good morning, Susan, and good morning, along with my precious God. You are saving my life, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. It talks about hopelessness in this paragraph, and the dash in step one is hopeless, but that doesn't mean we're helpless. And this is where the hope comes in, and this is where the we all get to do this. We all get to be helpful, whether we're a newcomer reaching out to somebody to ask them to sponsor us, or whether we're an old timer and we're doing a 10 step or reviewing something in 11 step or having another 4 step heard. So that helplessness is what I consider the bright spot of my day, is that I am not helpless and I'm useful, and that the four absolutes, which are honesty, usefulness, love, and I call it authenticity, they call it purity, need to be incorporated in each of my days so that I can actually go out there and reach out and touch someone, as it says in the commercial, because that's what works for me, that immunity against that first bite. I consider my abstinence, and this is a little bit controversial, I do still share a food plan with somebody after 23 plus years, but my abstinence has to be spiritual. It has to be about my emotions. It has to be, yes, I do have a black and white abstinence, but I can't stay that way unless my emotions are in neutrality. And that's what it takes. Every morning I read page 83 through 88 because that talks about the reconstruction ahead. And I'm always reconstructing. I always, as somebody said one morning, I have to keep it green because there for the grace of God go I. And my darkest past is my greatest asset, but so is somebody else's. Because I can hear again how hopeless I was, but today I'm not helpless because I have God and I have you. So with that, I pass. I really thank everybody along with my precious God. Many God sightings await when I reach out. So with that, I pass. God bless everybody. Happy day, happy destiny.
Thank you, Loretta. And next we have Sherry H.M. in Washington.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered. Thanks to this program and God, I'm just so grateful. I love how this talks about the gift of desperation, where we're hopeless and we just know we can't do it. There is nothing that can stop us. One day I was in a thrift store looking at some beautiful dresses. They were so cute. And this lady came by me and she said, "Oh, those are beautiful. You're so lucky you're small and you can fit into those." And I said, "Well," I said, "that's kind of you." But I said, "You know, it actually was not always the case. Not at all. And she goes, "Oh my gosh, really?" And she goes, "My doctor told me I need to lose weight because of my heart and this and that." And she goes, "It's almost like I'm addicted to sugar. I cannot stop." No one was really around the thrift store except us two right close by. So I said, "You know, I totally understand." I said, that was definitely me. I just knew nothing ever would happen. But I have been into this Overeaters Anonymous. And she was very interested. So I didn't want to go on and on. I said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to give you my phone number. If you ever want to text me, you know, get together for coffee, I can tell you more about it. But yeah, enjoy the thrift store and have a good day." So get in the car and my husband's driving. It's about half hour later. She texts me, "When can we get together?" So we got together the next day and shared my experience, strength, and hope. And then she got into OA. And so we can't do it. I can't do it. The I can't leads me to
it's only God, you know, that's going to do it for me. So I'm so grateful for you all, and have a wonderful day working the steps in all your affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. Next, we have Deb. And if Deb, if you can tell us where you're calling in from this morning. Thank you.
Yes, I'm calling from Texas, and I'm Deb F. as in Frank, and I'm just so grateful to be on this meeting this morning and hear all the shares, such a, that we keep it simple, you know, just focus on the big book and our experience with it through working our program. And I could just say that it's teaching me to slow down, because I'm somewhat of an exercise bulimic, or at least that's back in my history, and I can just slip into it so fast. And but you know, my body is going, hey, wait a minute, we can't do this, because I start getting this funny sign of the heart on my watch, and it says, slow down, you're going too fast for me right now. So and that's kind of what my higher power is doing with me too. It's like yesterday I didn't weigh and measure my lunch, and I just felt like, oh, I didn't feel good about it all. And because that just gets me right back into things. And so I said, you know, what can I do about this? And, you know, the plain old simple disciplines, you know, getting my food ready ahead of time. And so, you know, and I was extra tired, not sleeping well and everything, and, you know, my head swirling. And I'm just grateful to have this program so that I can have the hope of recovery. And I'm glad that there doesn't have to be a poster child for recovery here, that we can just keep coming back. I got an outreach call last night from somebody who was kind of ashamed to tell me that she'd been in the program for 35 years and she was starting over again. And I said, join the club. I go, the point is you're still here, and that's the whole point. We're still here. We're still working on our recovery. We're learning things. We're growing, even if we have to set back our day one, you know? It doesn't matter. All it matters is that we keep showing up and we keep working on the recovery. In doing my recovery work, I realized that where we do the 10th step at the, where it says the cause, and I kept pointing to the stimulus, not the cause, and the cause is my thinking about everything. And so once I can get my thinking, you know, in the right perspective and look at my needs instead of my wishes and my, you know, intangibles, look at the concrete things, then I'm a much better place of being emotionally sober. So anyway, yeah, so with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deb F. in Texas. And next we have Julie B. in Ohio.
Yay, thank you. Thank you, Susan. This is Julie B. from Ohio, and I'm just so grateful to be on the line and to have made the meeting. I love this meeting. I love each of you, truly. I think mostly what I take from this reading, still in the doctor's opinion, is I sort of found, like, you know, when I need a mental uplift, I often think of another. I think a period could go right there. Not to tell them how to edit, but, you know, I often think of another period. And that's something that I'm working on. It does not come naturally. I think mostly of myself. And so, you know, thinking of another, like praying for another, I have a list of daily commitments in my phone, of like a little checklist that I do my best to do each day. My 3 minutes of thank yous in the morning to God. And on that list, it's an extensive list, because I'm perfectionist, and there's things I want to do each day that help my recovery. You know, outreach calls, thinking of another, and also like praying for my husband is on there too. Like just thinking of things that I'm grateful for with him specifically, and then praying for him. So just thinking of another when I need a mental uplift is something that I took from this reading today. My search party, just, you know, my sponsor who seeks after me, the community that is OA. Like, I am never going back. I'm in for life. Like, I'm never getting off of this ship. Like, I just think that the only other way is to be off of the ship in the ocean and drowning. Like, that's sincerely how I feel. I love the different visuals that we each have that OA represents. And to me, like, boat is spelled with a B-O-A-T. So I just think that it is just the boat that carries us, and I am never getting off. And if I do, it's because I'm in a lifeboat and it's, you know, passing. I don't even know. No, I'm not getting off. Lastly, if I have time, just the physical rehabilitation that's mentioned in this paragraph. And I just think of that as the hospitalization period and doing step work, being totally, completely in the food plan, surrendering the food decisions, wearing slippers, not eating at restaurants. I basically am still in that hospitalization period, and I'm grateful to be. So thank you so much for all of your guys' service, and I hope to be of service in the future on this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie B. in Ohio. Okay, we should have time for three more people. Who would like to share on this paragraph? When I need a mental uplift in the doctor's opinion on XXXI. First name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Laura W. in New Jersey.
Michelle
Laura
F.
W. Michelle F. And I may have time for one more. Okay. All right, we'll start with Laura W. and then we'll go to Michelle F. and see where we are. Go ahead, Laura. Thank you.
Good morning, Susan.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Excuse me. And I live in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, thinking about this, this is the story of Fritz Mayo, our southern friend, the story in the back of the book. And he hides in this deserted barn, determined to die. And in my disease, in the depths of my disease, without recovery, I'm determined to die. You know, that's my goal is unknowingly self-harm. I didn't necessarily want to leave the earth and die, but I didn't want to do the work that I knew it was going to take to get better. And it says he was rescued by a searching party. So somebody was out there looking for this guy, you know. And for me, my searching party came in the form of the introduction of the 12 steps through a treatment center, because I was in my 20s. It was well over 30 years ago, and I didn't know about OA. I didn't know about 12-step meetings. I didn't know about anything until I got to this treatment center. And but, you know, when my recovery really started to blossom and grow, I'd been abstinent for a long, long time. But it was when I discovered this phone meeting when it first came out, about 2 months after it first came out, somebody from my area told me about it, and I got on the line, and I've been listening for years. I mean, it's unbelievable. I look back to last year, and I think I feel more connected to God this year than I did last year and the year before and the year before. And that's really what recovery for me is about. There's no finish line here. This is a lifelong process. The big book tells us this is not an overnight matter. It has to continue for a lifetime. And, you know, following the physical rehabilitation, that means that abstinence comes first. So following putting down the food, following putting down the drink, he had a talk with me in which he frankly stated that he thought treatment was a waste of effort unless I could assure him, which no one else had, that he would have the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. So he wanted, you know, no pun intended, he wanted his cake and eating it too. Like, all right, I'll do this, but you have to guarantee me that it's going to work. Well, it will work if you work it. You know, it's not about willpower for me. I can't be cured of this disease, and I can only be transformed by a spiritual awakening. This is an internal change. This is not an external change, you know. So there's so much hope in this doctor's opinion. He's so smart and he's so humble. And it's just a good reminder that this program, yes, it's about abstinence, but it's, for me, it's about a whole new, becoming a whole new person, changing me completely. And only God can do that. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura, so much. And next, Michelle F., please unmute and join us.
Yes, it's F as in Foxtrot from Massachusetts. What really struck me in this paragraph was the very last part where the guy wants a guarantee that he will be able to resist the impulse to drink. You know, even though I've been abstinent and still in the program, I've gone through waves of not being very emotionally sober. Yeah, I read one of those books from people who were able to intuitively eat. And so I went to their website and I did. I was pretty snotty. I said, can you guarantee this will work for me? And there were crickets. And I realized now, wow, what a snotty thing to do. And kind of unrealistic. There's no guarantees in life. You know, every time we make a choice, it's not a guarantee. So really, step one for me with this, with abstinence, was that this is a way I choose to live my life. And no matter if I'm good at it or I keep relapsing, I keep making the choice to choose OA and to come back, because it's what's worked for me. It's what's kept me abstinent, and I'm happier. And I think that's all I needed to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. Thank you so much. Okay, we have 2 minutes. Who would like to take it? If you're shy, now is the time. Star one to unmute. One person.
Robin T., Cambridge.
Go ahead, Robin. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. I'm Robin, compulsive overeater from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm in step 12 and very happy to be here. When I need a mental uplift, what I think about is step 12 that I'm in right now, where it says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure your immunity as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. I completely concur with that statement, because what has saved me are phone calls to my fellows, talking about recovery. It completely destroys the desire to even think about eating. And I know we don't have much time, so with that, I'll pass. I have a frog in my throat. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody who was of service through January. This is our last Wednesday in January. Thank you to Alex Carr and Eileen for being our readers. Thank you to Anita L. and Linda for reading this morning. And on the back end, our newcomer and announcements have been Betsy H. and Loretta M. So thank you so much, Team January. All right, we will now close our meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Sure. Good morning. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.